Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 3 called A Divine Do-Over.
Well, today we're going to be talking about divine do-overs. Second chances. When you think about salvation, a good way to state salvation is starting over. You've lived a life away from God. You've lived on your own terms and your own way. And salvation is a new start. Salvation is a new start because you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Behold, all things have become new." You are new because the God who gives new life comes and lives inside of you. He comes and fills your life. He comes and changes your direction. Think of how many things have happened to you since becoming a Christian. How many perspectives have changed? How many layers of truth have come into your being? How God has just invaded your life. He's given you salvation. He's given you forgiveness of sins. And I think one author put it well when he said, God's not just the God of second chances. He's the God of 999 chances. Because even after becoming a Christian, we all appreciate do-overs, don't you? We play racquetball a lot, and sometimes if there's a close call in the game, we'll just say, let's just do it over, right? And then we say something like this. We say, the ball never lies. Whatever happens on this next point will really determine the truth. But sometimes I found that ball lies. It lies. But whenever it goes my way, it's telling the truth. But anyway, that's another story. Divine do-overs. It's such a cool thing that God does this in our lives, because if he didn't do it, none of us would be here. He took me many years ago when I was just kind of flailing in life, and he grabbed my life and he gave me a chance to start over. But I remember in the first 4 years of my Christian walk, I had to start over many times. I was a Christian, but I was struggling with a lot of things in my life, and seemed like one thing at a time, God was bringing it to the surface or bringing it to my attention, and then it would go away. And then he'd bring the next thing. He said, Michael, if you want to serve me, this has to go. And he would give me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth. And he's still giving me chances. Because every day I wake up, it's a do-over, you know? It's an opportunity to serve my God and the one who saved me. So today we're going to be in Jonah 3 as we continue our verse-by-verse study. And we're going to talk about divine do-overs. We're going to talk about the God of the second chance. Let's pray. Lord, as people are locating Jonah and kind of situating their hearts, we just pray that our hearts would be open to what your Spirit says to your church. We thank you for the story of Jonah, because do-overs are not just about getting saved. They are about being a Christian and sometimes losing our way. We've all been there, Lord. Sometimes we've had moments, sometimes they've turned into seasons where we were running away from you. And the word of the Lord came to us a second time and a third time. And the cool thing, Lord, the awesome thing about you is that you say you will never leave us or forsake us. And so we're just grateful for these divine do-overs that you give to us. We thank you for being patient with us and calling us and then recalling us again. And we pray that, Lord, you be glorified and lead us by your Holy Spirit in this message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jonah 3:1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying..." Now, I began to think about this idea of second chances, and I was teaching a Bible study this week in the book of Acts. We were in Acts chapter 10, and it was a story of Peter. Peter was near Joppa. He was staying at the house of, I think it was Simon the Tanner, and he was up on the rooftop praying at the hour of prayer, and an angel had come and visited a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion of the Italian cohort, I think it says, which really makes me like him. But anyway, I'm Italian, so. One version says the Italian band. It wasn't Sinatra's backup band, just in case you were wondering. But anyway, he was a devout man, and he prayed and he gave alms, and his prayers had come up as a memorial before God. God saw what this man was doing, and so sent an angel, and the angel came and said, your prayers have been heard. Send for a man named Peter. Go to Joppa and send for him. So there's Peter, and Peter went up on the hour of prayer, and he was hungry, the Bible says, and he was praying. Ever been there before? You're praying, but you're hungry. And he had like this high spiritual moment where he saw in a vision a sheet coming down from heaven. From four corners, and it was filled with all kind of four-footed animals and creeping things, unclean, unkosher foods to the Jews. And then Peter heard a voice, and the voice said, rise up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything unclean. Nothing unclean goes through these lips. And God said, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. And as Peter thought about the vision, the same thing happened, the Bible says, three times. It's almost as if God was saying to Peter three times, I'm just going to drive this point home so you get it. Does that sound familiar in Peter's life? You know, Peter was pretty confident in himself. And he said, look, though I'll forsake you, I will never forsake you. I'll die for you. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny that you even know me three times. And it happened. And Peter went out, and remember, he wept bitterly, and he met the Lord again on the seashore in John 21, and three times the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. Then what was the response of the Lord? Then feed my sheep, take care of my lambs, feed my sheep. Three times it happened, probably mirroring the three denials of Peter, but that, most commentators agree, that was the renewal of Peter. That was the God of the second chance saying, Peter, you are not disqualified. I'm going to put you back into service again. Though you denied me, my word's coming to you again. You go and you feed my sheep. And Peter had a testimony, didn't he? He had something radical to share. Somebody asked J. Vernon McGee after he preached on the book of Jonah, what if Jonah would have run away again? He gets vomited up by the fish, regurgitated onto the seashore. What if he took off for Tarshish again? What would God have done? And J. Vernon McGee in his southern drawl said, I think God would have prepared another fish. How many fish has he prepared in your life? I mean, think about it. How many times have we run away and God has graciously and sometimes even through hard storms, right? Uncomfortable places, brought us back to the place of destination. And there's Peter. And some of the aspects of the story are interesting to parallel. Peter's in Joppa. That's mentioned in, that's where Jonah went to catch the fish. And the two men have a view of Gentiles. That is something that is quite interesting connected to their Jewish background. The Mishnah says that Gentiles are only to fuel the fires of hell. And by the way, Gentiles, if you wondered, is anybody who's not Jewish. And so Peter had this perspective, you know what? I don't know about the Gentiles. We're the covenant people. And that was the problem that Jonah had. I'm not going to Nineveh. Because there's a bunch of pagan people there who believe in false gods. They're violent people. They're crude. There's all kinds of bad stuff going on. I don't want to go and preach to them. And three times the sheep came down to Peter saying, don't you call unclean what I call clean. So Peter comes to the dwelling of Cornelius and he says, you know what? You guys know it's unlawful for me, a Jew, to come into this dwelling. Well, was there anything written in the law that he couldn't come in? No, but the Jews had kind of connected the idea of the unkosher foods with the Gentiles. And so if I go into the dwelling, I'm going to be unclean. But Peter went past the threshold. And he said, I realize why I'm here now. I'm here to preach. And everybody was assembled. Everybody was waiting with expectation. And Peter begins to preach the message. The God of the second chance. That's what God does. He could have said to Peter, you know what, Peter, you're sorry. I know you went out and wept bitterly, but you know what? I'm not going to use you anymore. God could have said to Jonah, you know what? You went the other way, and I know you're sorry, and I hear your prayer. You're a thankful man. Look at the end of Jonah 2. Jonah says these words. Have you ever been there? But I will sacrifice, Jonah 2:9, to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He was a thankful man, delivered from the sea and the fish. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation, literally, Yeshua is the word there. That's the name Jesus there, is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. He was grateful, but what if God said, you know what, Jonah? Yeah, you're sorry. Yeah, I forgive you, but no second chance. I'm using somebody else. God could have done that. God could have done that to Peter. God could have done that to me. Because there's been many points in my life when I probably wasn't the best choice for God to use. I'm sure I wasn't. But God seems to delight in using broken vessels, doesn't he? In people who sometimes need to have some hard lessons driven into their souls. And so Jonah was definitely a different man. And he's told these words after the word comes to him a second time. And I just want to say to you, if you're a person who needs a second chance, or you're at 999, it's... God won't give up on you. Some of you have given up on yourselves. You think, man, I can't be used by God. But you know what? God can give you that second chance. And so he's told, arise, verse 2, Jonah 3, and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hi, I'm Rob Newton, Program Director of Walk in Truth. Each week, I work alongside our host, Mike Massaro, editor Jared, and Pastor Michael to take his sermons and turn them into inspiring radio and podcast episodes. From writing scripts, recording, to editing, to mixing with music and announcements, we carefully craft each episode to reach listeners like you. This month, I want to invite you to be part of something powerful. By becoming a Walk in Truth partner for just $40 a month, you can help us continue broadcasting Pastor Michael's teachings to listeners seeking hope and encouragement on Kept FM in the Bay Area. In November, we set a goal of 40 new financial partners to help us broadcast in San Diego, and those 40 partners stepped up quickly. Thank you so much to all our new partners. If you're like many who connect deeply through audiobooks, radio, or podcasts, you know the impact these messages can have. Maybe you can help us reach more people. Check out Paul's story.
So it's 2019, right before COVID. I'm driving to Orange County Airport, 4 a.m. Turn on the radio. It's on 99.5 FM. And I hear this pastor speak the word of God like I've never heard spoken. So I call my bride, wake her up, it's 4 a.m, and said, hey, do a search on Pastor Michael Lance at Living Truth, because I think we're going to move wherever this church is. It's probably going to be in the Midwest or in the South somewhere. So I fly into Chicago a few hours later, give my bride a call and say, hey, where's Michael Lance located? She says, Corona. And I said, where's that? She said, Paul, it's Corona, California, where we've been living for 16 years, right down the road. That was 5 years ago, and my family and I are deeply involved here at Living Truth and with all of you. And the Lord's really transforming my family and I. And I believe that Pastor Michael teaches the Word of God so you can understand it and apply it with a love of Jesus. And I think it's wild how listening to a radio station for just a few minutes can actually change your life.
To show our gratitude, we'll send you a free copy of Pastor Michael's newly released book, Oh My Soul, March On With Strength, for your one-time or recurring donation of $40 or more. But a partnership is definitely appreciated. Visit walkintruth.com today and click donate. That's walkintruth.com, walkintruth.com, and thank you.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Be used by God. But you know what? God can give you that second chance. And so he's told, arise, verse 2, Jonah 3, and go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to give you about 5 points on what I think will help in both personal revival and corporate revival, or as we've been praying, revival in America. What's going to bring it? Well, the first thing that's going to bring it is if people arise and go, verse 2. If they respond to the call. So if you're a note taker, I've got in my notes, revival comes when the called obey, when we arise and go to God's will. Some of you have been on the road to Tarshish. You've been going the other way. God wants you on the road to Nineveh. Scholars agree that Jonah may have traveled some 400 to 500 miles to get to Nineveh. Some believe that he was dropped off by the fish in Joppa with his seaweed hat on, you know, hey, dude, you know, on the seashore, whatever. But others believe, like, there's a reference in Josephus that says that he landed near the Black Sea. But whatever the case may be, long journey. Could he have gone on a camel caravan? Possible. Could he have ridden on horse? Maybe. But he probably walked. He probably hoofed it all 500 miles back to Nineveh. Sometimes it's a long road back. Are you with me? Sometimes it's not just a hop, skip, and a jump to get back into God's will. Sometimes it takes a little time to travel to the destination where you're ready, but God meets you on the road. Are you with me? God will take that journey, if you will, and get you ready. But he says, verse 2, please mark it, arise and go. If you look at Jonah 1:2, just flip back a couple pages. The first time he got the word of the Lord, it came to Jonah. He was told, Jonah 1:2, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He went the other way. And what, in essence, God is saying is, here it comes a second time, Jonah. I hope you've learned your lesson. You're going to have a little time to walk on this journey and reflect, but arise and go in my direction. Go to my call. If revival is going to happen in the church and in America, we are going to have to hear and heed the call of God in our lives. Not somebody else's life. Our lives. Because it's not always about one person. We have a body of Christ. But often God does take one person, like a Jonah. Maybe an unexpected person. And he calls a nation back to repentance. It has been well said that the world has yet to see what God can do through a man or a woman whose whole heart is devoted to him. And each one of us could say, man, I want to be that person, but I feel the tension in my being. I feel how fickle I can be. I feel how high I can be at one moment, spiritually on fire, and the next moment, man, I see my humanity staring back at me in the mirror. And so arise and go. Revival will come when we hear the call of God and obey him. But secondly, revival will come, note takers, when preachers preach the message that God gives them to preach. Arise and go to Nineveh, New King James says, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Not your own message. Not some clever, persuasive speech. The message that God has given us to preach is a message that is the power of God for salvation. It's a simple message. Jesus Christ came. He's God. He died for our sins. He lived the perfect life that we can never live. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead, and you need forgiveness through him, and you must come to him. A child can understand it. Adults spend their lives studying it, the layers of it, but this is the message. First, we need to arise and go. For some of you, it may start with literally arising and going to church. Arise and go. Are you with me? Sometimes I'm sleepy. I want to stay. We joke with our friends sometimes. In my little bunny hole where it's comfortable. The light, it's too bright. All that, right? I got things to do, people to see, places to go. A lawn that must be mowed. A car that must be washed. How are we going to hear from the Lord if we can't even arise and go at that basic level? 9/11 happened. The buildings went down. Other things happened in our nation, and church attendance swelled. And we said, we must get back to God. Whatever the reasons for all of this, we've got to get back to God. And about 4 weeks later, everyone went back to their life, their normal life. And he says, arise and go. Go to the city and proclaim the message that I tell you to proclaim. Most believe that this is the greatest revival that's ever happened in the history of the scriptures. where a whole city, 120,000 persons probably plus, repent and give their lives to Christ. And Jonah, the reluctant prophet, is right at the center of it. It's amazing, but that's what God does.
You've been listening to A Divine Do-Over, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah, Chapter 3. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lantz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, I think we all love the idea of a do-over. I'm a golfer, and I like mulligans. You might say, what's a mulligan? Well, if you're a golfer, you know, right? And of course, I try to limit my mulligans, but sometimes it's really nice to try that shot again a second time. And in golf, you know, a mulligan gives you the opportunity to redeem yourself. We often say, if you're going to take a mulligan, you should redeem it. Don't hit another one in the water or another ball in the bushes. But truth is that as a human being, sometimes I redeem that mulligan and sometimes I don't. In the case of Jonah, he had a second opportunity. That moment where God moved him where he was supposed to be, and now he had to decide. And he had to preach to a people that, frankly, he despised. Where do you find the strength to do something? You know, it's one thing when we'd say, oh, that's right and good, but what if it challenges you to the very core? How do you find the strength to do that? That's what Jonah was actually wrestling with. I want to be obedient to God, but I don't want those people to be saved. That's essentially what he was saying. And maybe you feel the same way. Maybe you feel like God's asked you to do some things that are totally beyond your comfort zone. I can relate to that. And you ask, where do I find the strength to do it? And the truth is, it can't be your strength. It can't be your heart. You have to have God's heart. You see, part of Jonah's story is to show him God's heart so that when he speaks to the Ninevites, he might speak as God would, as an ambassador for the gospel. And truth be told, you know, as we go through the book of Jonah, he wasn't happy that the people repented and that God relented. And the Lord, you know, had to talk to Jonah about his own heart. And you know, that's at the core of this book. And I pray that it's been causing you and me to look inside and to say, Lord, change my heart. You know, on the cross, Jesus was forgiving those who were crucifying him. He wept over the nation that rejected him. Oh, to have his heart. It's not easy, but it is something that God can and does do as we surrender to him. Hey, we've been talking to you about the new book that I've written recently called Oh My Soul, March On With Strength. And for your monthly partnership of $40, and we really appreciate our partners, we've actually gotten a good number from our local fellowship here recently. You'll get a free copy of the book. If you give a one-time gift, we'll also get the book into your hands. It's called Oh My Soul, March On With Strength. And let me tell you that I wrote the book, the first manuscript of the book, more like a pastor theologian, you might say. And then I went back and rewrote the book or added to it, going through a very challenging time in my own life. And some of those details are in the book. I think you'll find it medicinal. I think you'll find it helpful. The goal of the book was to help Christians get into a rhythm of reading the first 30 Psalms, reading the Psalm that matches the day of the month, and giving you some encouragement. It's about a 5 to 10 minute read for the daily devotion and giving you, you know, an application point, some takeaways. That's the idea. Oh, My Soul, March On With Strength, available to you through Walk in Truth for your partnership of $40 or more, or a one-time gift of $40. We appreciate you, love you, and we'll see you right here tomorrow.
Remember, Walk in Truth is a listener-supported ministry. Your financial partnership helps us broadcast on this station and provide the podcast for free. Also, more people like you can dive deeper into the Word of God and apply it to their life. Please consider becoming a monthly Walk in Truth partner or give a one-time gift. Please visit walkintruth.com to give. And join us tomorrow for part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Jonah chapter 3 called A Divine Do-Over.
It's interesting. Among the things that they found in this people group, they found a story of a supreme one or something like that named Nanshi. He was the daughter of Ea, the goddess of fresh water. They also worshiped Dagon, the fish god, and they had a legend that a man-fish combo named Janush, somewhat phonetically similar to Jonah, had very early in their history appeared out of the sea. He kind of walked out of the sea and taught the people what they should be doing.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.